Back in October 2018, something happened. Frontman and broadcaster Tom Dunn was told that he had a heart condition that meant that he had a 70% chance of dying. That's pretty stark. At the time, Tom's daughters were still in primary school, so you can imagine the shock and the worry his family went through learning news like that. This week, Tom was writing in the Examiner with good news, and he's on the line now to share it with us. How are you doing, Tom?
How are you, Ray?
We'll see what we can do with you there. You're distorting. You know what distorting is.
I'm probably very excited, and I'm probably getting too close
yes,
to the microphone.
That's it.
Right.
So you come back from the microphone.
Sorry, it's lead singer syndrome. Yes. Once I see the mic, I go for it. I'm sorry.
And I said you were a broadcaster as well, so your mic technique should be good, Tom.
It's the performer in me. It comes out. I can't help it.
Great to talk to you. And
you
so,
too.
Yeah. So like. I was following, obviously, because, you know, we're in a circle of people and they know, and they probably know a little bit more about you than, you know, the general public would. So the last few years have been very difficult, haven't they? So bring us right back, because you were told a good bit back that you had a problem with your heart and at some stage you would have to have a major operation. Isn't that it?
Yeah. It was all the way back, I think, to 2007, and I failed the medical when we were buying our house, getting house and life insurance. I failed it. They discovered a murmur, and I was referred to a cardiologist, and he said, yeah, you definitely have this condition. It's called a bicuspid valve, and at some point we're going to have to operate. And I remember at the time I was really in a tailspin over that. But then the years went by. I went for annual checkups. There was never any real change. He kept saying things like, and you can exercise full on, live a normal life. You know, we'll just keep an eye on this. Mm. And then I missed 2 years, as you do. I missed 2 years. And I went back. Obviously, the figures had changed a little bit. And he said, I'd like you to see the surgeon. But even when he said that, I thought it was only on a kind of just to be sure kind of basis. Mm. And there was no rush on this. So when I went to see the surgeon on October 13th, 2018, wasn't it? He kind of looked at the figures and then I think he realized I didn't know how bad it was. So that's when he said the famous line, you have a 70% chance of dying in the next 2 years with these figures. And that really got my attention.
I know it's I'm sort of laughing nervously here. How did you feel when you heard that, Tom?
I went into, it was really a bit of a panic. I couldn't really believe it. You know the way you can get a bit giggly when you don't know what to do? I had two gigs at Christmas and I just wanted to do the two gigs. So I was saying to him, can we just do it after Christmas? And he was kind of rolling his eyes, but he agreed. And then he said, whatever you do though, if you do get chest pains, you cannot ignore them. And I'd never had chest pains. So I told Audrey the news. She's looking at me in disbelief. And then within 2 days, I got chest pains. So I had to check into A&E. The chest pains were just stress. That was just a bad reaction to the news. And then, but it affected me to the level where I said to do the operation as quickly as we humanly can. And that was scheduled for November the 14th. So,
and they had to replace the valve. That's the operation, right? That's a huge operation.
It's a big deal. If you can think of going into the center of your heart, the aortic valve, and replacing that, that's as serious as it gets, really, in terms of surgery in your heart. And I knew that was coming. And the 4 weeks in the lead up to it were grim. You know, they really were. Telling people about it, pulling out of the gigs, going shopping into Arnott's one day that I'll never forget because I had no hospital stuff. I don't wear pajamas.
Right.
I didn't own slippers. So I had to kind of get all those things quietly without my children realizing why I needed them. And that was grim. That Sunday will live with me. I still can't quite walk through Arnott's without going.
Bad memory. What age were the girls that were in primary school?
So 10 and 12.
Right, okay.
10 and 12.
And then, did you tell them the full story?
Night before, we kind of very vaguely said Daddy has to have an operation on his chest. And we kept just going like it was something to do with my chest bone or something. But Eva was perceptive. She looked at us and said, will this be our last night as a whole family?
Whoa.
And I remember thinking my heart sank. Oh, God. So all you can do is say, no, it won't. Of course it won't be. Of course it won't be. And then the next day I had to check into the hospital and that was grim enough too. It was very surreal.
And obviously, you know, and I've been in these situations with other people, luckily, where they have to lay out all the possibilities, all the things that might happen if the surgery goes wrong, you know.
Yeah.
But before even that conversation, you had a choice of a mechanical device or a sort of a natural device.
Yeah, tissue valve.
Tissue valve, and right.
I'm trying to avoid using the word you're thinking of trying to avoid as well. I don't like to think of that. Yeah, tissue valve. And the difference between them is that you end up, well, the mechanical is much longer life, but you end up taking warfarin for your life, which I really didn't like the idea of. So I was very adamant that I wanted the tissue valve. Because you just take aspirin after
but
that.
But you better tell them it's a pig's valve, is it?
Yeah, I didn't want to use. Yes, it's a pig's valve.
Does that bother you that you have a bit of a pig inside you?
Sorry, I don't know. I think the whole, you know, it goes from being science to being something to do with a pig. To me, you say that. 1 minute it's all tissue. You have a tissue valve. You know, that's all good. Next minute, it's a bit of a pig in you, Tom, is there?
But isn't that brilliant that, you know, medical science can do that?
That's a miracle beyond belief.
Yes, and you're sitting wherever you are talking to me through a microphone and Skype, and you got the brilliant news that it's all clear.
Completely. And I was worried about the life, you know, of the valve. And there was, you know, around 12 years is what they were saying. And that could mean me having surgery, say, again, within another 10 years from today. So we had her second CT scan, and he looked at it, and I was saying, longevity, are you getting any kind of feeling towards longevity? And he said, oh, this is going excellently. I can't see us needing to go in here again.
Ah.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Yes!
from and this is the same man who said you had 70% chance of dying, right?
Dr. James McCarthy, yeah.
Right.
Legend in my family.
Saved your life.
A man who went to UCC, studied medicine, and now he does that kind of thing. It's miracle working, really. And, you know, I was chatting to him about COVID, and he was saying, oh, I'm lucky I'm able to come into work and stuff. And I mean, what he goes in to do every day is just remarkable.
Yeah.
So, you
were one of those forever young type people in my eyes, you know.
Yeah, and I remain so, right?
Yes, I know. No, but I think that was the image you had of yourself as well. I'm just interested in when you're put through the ringer like that. And I know that the surgery was really tough. You were in ICU for 6 days. You're on dialysis. All of those things. You weren't conscious that that was happening, but you know now that it happened. That's mortality. Your mortality slapping you in the face, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It rattled me, and I think I might have a small bit of post-traumatic stress around it because it just. God, I came out of hospital wanting to get rid of all my possessions because I felt like you won't be around. And when you're gone, other people will be going through them. So better if you get rid of them now. Cut out the middleman.
That's an odd one.
So it is odd. I look at my vinyl and I think, God, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Just, you know, keep it. Put a small footprint in place.
Right.
And that hasn't gone away. And I find the odd moment when the kids are just being fantastic, you just flitter, goes through your head, this won't last. And that's a little bit, you know, scary.
I suppose the comforting thing, if it is comforting, is that it doesn't last for anybody, you know, that we, you know, we're all going to die.
I have, hopefully, touch wood, a good patch of time in front of me, you know. But for whatever reason, it just seems to have gone into my head that it mightn't be that, you know, it'd be gone in a heartbeat, you know, so... Yeah. Try and keep the focus going.
And that's just a figure of speech.
Absolutely.
But you mentioned post-traumatic, and I'm sure you've talked to, you know, the doctor about this. Is this, would that be common?
It is very common. Right. And to be honest, I was interrupted by COVID because I did rehab and I was doing great in the rehab. I was loving it. Going to the gym every Tuesday. I was running on a treadmill. I was getting good speeds again. And, you know, I was really feeling great. And then COVID came in. We had to close everything down. And we had been talking about it, that, you know, it probably would suit you to talk to someone about this.
Right.
And that's all just shut down at the moment.
Yeah, right.
Well, we will do it.
We're nearly at the end of it. And you're broadcasting away on News Talk. Do you do it from home or do you go in?
You know, where I'm sitting now is where I do it from.
Okay, all right.
I haven't left the bunker, as I call it, since March the 12th.
Right. And what's your favourite Irish love song?
You know, I'm going for one of my own. I
just said that. No, you can't select a Something Happens one, other than Something Happens.
I'm going to have to go with Mary then. I don't know if Mary is really a love song.
From the four of us.
Yeah, I think right. It's one of the most beautiful songs ever written. I hate being envious of my contemporaries, but I very often am.
Okay.
That's one. That is just a gorgeous little song about one man pleading with a woman to do the right thing in her life where she never seems to do it. And just, you know, having that, holding somebody in your heart like that, wanting the best for them. He puts it so well and he sings it so beautifully.
I would never have thought of that. And you better mention the Something Happened song then as well, Tom. Sorry.
Be My Love.
Be My
I think
Love.
Be My Love is one of the cutest songs we ever wrote.
Right.
Wrote it on the road in England about the girl who was selling T-shirts for the support for the main band. And she would stare at us every day as we were doing the sound check. So I thought a funny thing would be to write a song about her as we were doing it. Never got to talk to her. Nothing ever, you know.
Happened.
It was just an inspiration for a song.
Unrequited infatuation.
One of many.
Right, okay. Tom, it's great to hear you're in good health.
And
you got the good news.
Having the crack.
Yeah, and at some stage in the future, yourself and the lads will come in and you'll sing us a couple of songs. Maybe Be My Love might be one of them.
I might murder a version of Mary as well.
Yes, there you go. It's a date. Right, Tom, see you. Bye, bye, bye.
Thanks,
the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.